Who wants to go first out of the people? Anybody? And we got five besides me that went. All right, John, come on up. I don't know if you want this or not, but probably don't need it. Sometimes people like to stand behind it. So you want to talk about that lady's house too? Okay, I'm going to cue this up. Go ahead.
Do I need a microphone?
Yes. Hold on. Boy, that thing's full of life. Turn it off.
Hello. Is it on now? Can you hear me? All right. So Craig wanted me to talk about one of the pastors. There were seven that we met. Don't throw me in the loop like that. Anyway, so I'm going to talk to you about one of the pastors. Her name is Raquel Alcantara. Let me make sure I don't butcher this. Alcantara. But we all know her just by Raquel, Pastor Raquel. And she prayed with us. She danced with us. She worshiped with us. And that was all just in the first 5 minutes. But she is on fire for God. She's got a wonderful, beautiful spirit about her. And where she pastors, we didn't actually get to see her actual church location where she's actually pastoring currently. We did look at some land, and I guess we bought some, right? We bought some land. We're going to build her a church for her location. She's got 20-plus adults and 35 children in her church. And if it's hard to get a picture in your head, but that's quite a lot of people crammed into a small area, very small. And it's like that at all the churches. There's a ton of people in a small, very cramped area. But also, as we was going to look at that land, we came across, she was just happened to go where she lived. And unfortunately, it's pretty much a shack, a metal shack that has no floor. They have the flooring, Ramon said, but it's not built yet because her roof is leaking. And we decided, after much prayer and consideration, that we were going to fix that. And Martin's actually taking care of that on his end with overflow. But if anyone wants to contribute to that, of course, would be a good thing. So it's going to be $900 to get the shack into a livable condition. And it broke my heart personally. I was tore up about it. Craig knew, he could tell I was tore up about it. But we've come to a resolution or a resolve. But just to think that she's living in such squander while ministering to 55, 60 people. More than half of them are kids, little kids. It really pulled my heartstrings. So it was tough. But knowing that we're doing something, we're on the front end of it, we're taking control of it, and we're going to do something about it, is a good thing. And I'm in contact with her through WhatsApp. We've been messaging back and forth. I've been praying with her and encouraging her, and she is encouraging me as well. She's highly an encouraging person. But to see her smile and have that fruit and the life of the Spirit about her when she's living in these conditions, that to us, I mean, we wouldn't wish our worst enemy to live like that, you know. Here in America, I know there's homeless people who live in tents and whatnot, and that's pretty much on equal par with what she's going through. But keep her in your prayers. Keep all seven of them in your prayers. And I guess that's all I got to say about it. Next. And that's Raquel. Remember Raquel.
Hi. Y'all know I don't like talking on a microphone or standing up in front of a bunch of people, but I will talk. It was very heartbreaking to see Pastor Raquel's house. A lot of the buildings in the Dominican Republic look like that. A lot of the churches are in somebody's garage that are built like that, out of the corrugated metal. And it's insanely hot inside. In fact, the first church we went to, or that Craig and I went to, we kind of split up occasionally. They gave us a seat of honor in the front where it was the hottest. And we're just in there going, can we please, like, dance out on the street? And the second garage room, and I packed people in there, like, you know, like sardines, yeah, absolutely. There was no room to move, no room to dance. The second one we went to was a garage, but thankfully we got there later, and we're like, no, it's fine, it's fine. We'll stay outside in the street, it's fine. And the street was like this, you know. And so it's on an extreme hill, so I'm out there dancing on the hill. And that's a new one. Never danced anywhere but flat land. And there was this precious little girl who's the daughter of the pastor in Santo Domingo, the capital city, named Elba. They had her little daughter, Ariane, and she popped out there beside me, and she was trying to copy all my dance steps. And just, you could tell that she just loved to worship the Lord. And it was just... what's amazing to me is you go there and you see the just tremendous poverty in all these people's lives. Raquel, her husband left her. She has to support her family on her own. That's just tragic. And she has grown children who aren't following God, and that's hard. Hmm? What about the two girls that came to the leadership retreat? You don't remember them? Oh, okay. But you could tell they needed God. It was real obvious. But you could just see there's just a lot of pain. One pastor, Dominga, her entire church was filled with wounded and broken people. And as a pastor, I would think that would be overwhelming to minister to that many people with that many wounds in their lives that are just... because I can see stuff, I'm trying to think how to say it. I can frequently know if somebody's been wounded or what's going on with their life spiritually or emotionally. And when compared to here and then compared to there, just the magnitude is more than any of us can even come close to imagining. So anyhow, my heart is for them. What's amazing is they have so much joy. They love God. And honestly, in America... we take what we have, and we take God and our freedoms for granted tremendously. But they had such a passion for God that dwarfs what we have here. It's like God's their whole life. And I say that God's my whole life, but is it like theirs? Probably not. Probably not to the degree that they walk with God, talk with God. They literally subsist on God. I did some research on the history of the island. It's split into two countries, the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Anyhow, the history of the entire island is incredibly tragic. and painful, I think, for everybody and anybody who was any part of it. Haiti came to exist. The island had been taken over by Spaniards, but Haiti came to exist because French pirates took over that end of the island. And so everybody started speaking French. A lot of the population, they're mixed with just about every race possible, but a lot of them were escaped slaves that rebelled and stuff like that. So anyhow, it's just a real... Even the United States invaded in the early 1900s. I didn't know that one. It was like, interesting. But on 2 days, we had a leadership retreat outside our hotel. They had a nice little grass-covered, pavilion. And it started out with Craig preaching. And it was, and I told him after the fact, where is he? Oh, he's up there. I told him after the fact, I said, that is literally the most powerful sermon I have ever heard you preach. And I've been listening to him for 40 years. And honestly, nobody thought to film it. We were all so spellbound. And he talked about the love story between God and his bride. And it was just, even Pastor Martine said, I wanted to punch you because I was going to start crying. And Craig was crying. And it was just mesmerizing to listen to. And Craig's like, well, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. And then later, when I got with God and started, you know, paying attention, it just made me realize God used Craig as a vessel, and truly it was the Holy Spirit speaking. But it was just the most phenomenal. I wish you guys could hear it. It just, you know, I don't know if he could replicate it or not, but it was just amazing because it was giving them a picture of how in love God is with us and how much he paid for to have us, how valuable we all are. So let them know how valuable they all are. Then Craig washed the feet of all the pastors, and it took me a while to kind of wake up from the sermon and to really get involved in that part of the service. But eventually, when I was just like, oh, okay. So I jumped up and started drying the feet of some of the pastors and had words over them. And then when it came to the leaders, we split up into two teams, ministering over, washing feet and drying them and having words over them. And honestly, Ramon, I think, had gone to get something, or he wasn't there. And so Martine, we're like, I was in one group, and I think Jason, your wife was, no, she was working with me. I don't know who was working with the other seat. But we were like grabbing Martine every 5 seconds. No, no, you need to come help me translate. No, and then the other group was grabbing him and saying, you got to come translate. So we had to wait and be like, okay, I got a word for you. I just got to wait. And as soon as we're done over there, we're like, come over here. So it was, the words given over them were just amazing and transforming. They were just so hungry. You don't see that here in the United States. You really don't. It's just was amazing. So, anyhow, I honestly didn't want to leave them. So, next.
Thank you, Susan. I could probably talk about this for 2 hours because it was really that impactful. This is my third trip over there, and every time it seems to go up a level. And so I'm gonna try to hit the highlights. I want to double back on what Susan was talking about, because the focus of the trip, when you go over there, you don't really know which direction the thing's going to go, you know. That's really up to the Lord. We're there to be obedient. That's one of the coolest things about our group is we've got a group of people that are all listening and are all okay to, you know, just go with the flow. The flow this time was those seven pastors. And Thursday night, we got there. I got up at 3:30 Thursday morning. Planes, trains, and automobiles. 9 o'clock at night, we're over there in Ojeda at the church, just exhausted, just from trying to get there, okay? So we have a service Thursday night because they always want to have a service. It was great, you know. Friday, I'll skip all the details, 13 services in 3 days, okay? But Saturday night was the first series of teachings to the seven pastors in that little cabana. I don't think they'd ever done anything like this before. This was kind of, you know, the group's brainchild here to get them together, because from the last trip, we knew that if these leaders don't rise up, they can't hold what God's doing over there. So we did it Friday night. It was very impactful. It was very powerful. Impartation of those people was incredible. The foot washing was such a tremendous symbol from heaven of the fact that, you know, it's their ministry. We're here to serve you. Let us help you figure out, you know, give you what we got, because that's all we can do, really. But to help them go up a run. Saturday morning, they came back to the same place for three different messages on, it was more nuts and bolts stuff about, you know, things that happen to leaders that don't happen to everybody else, blah, blah, blah. But again, it was very probably unique for them, very powerful to them, very impactful to them. More services on Saturday. Sunday, as Craig shared earlier, all hell broke loose. Why? Because we took some territory Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you can't pry bat 1,000, because that's just not the way it works. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, God was crushing it. Sunday, we got whacked. But Sunday night ended really well, in my opinion. But anyway, I want to talk about Pastor Raquel for just a second, because you saw her house on there, okay? But I want to tell you the thing that that just still messes me up. We didn't know that was her house when we met her, okay? We're like worshiping along this lady. She's like breathing the fire of God. She's up there leading worship, top of her lungs. She comes into church Sunday with this bleach white dress on, man. I mean, you'd have thought she came from a million-dollar home. Then you go to her house, and you're like, how do you keep a dress white in that house? But can I tell you, that's how they feel about God. That's their heart for God. She probably pulls that dress up, puts it in six plastic bags so that thing don't get dirty, okay? So that when she goes to worship God, she's got a dress that is spotless to put on. And she goes in there to 30 kids and 20 adults. I can't even imagine that. 30 kids, God save me. And she brings the Spirit of God in a way that very few people can into that building, pushes it into those people, and they go out and they do their thing. And it is, the word hunger came up earlier. I don't know any other word that fits their heart any better as a bunch of dang hungry people. Hungry people. And so, you know, we're here coming back, giving the report to everybody. And we already hit on the teamwork, and that went up a level. Thank you, Jan, for sharing that, because it was kind of new thinking for me and very much appreciated. And anybody who has supported what we were doing in prayer, thank you. I needed all the prayer I could get driving in the streets of Santo Domingo. I'll say nothing about all the rest of the stuff. But the hunger there is incredible, and so we're bringing a report back to our family that supported us in prayer, that supported that financially. It's not really us, but supported the ministry over there financially. And I am telling you, there is probably not any more fertile place that you can park your prayers, that you can park your offerings to the Lord, than what's going on over there. And I don't want to say it's just getting started, because Craig's been doing this for 20 years or something over there. But it has got some traction, and it is going places. Now, my job is to talk about the buildings. So I want to talk about the buildings for a minute. So there we go. This is the church in Paraíso. It's in the side of somebody's house, basically in the garage. you couldn't fit another person in this one or any of the other five that we went to, okay? The Ojeda Church was invested in a few years ago, doubled the size of it. When you go in there, it is like, this may be dramatic. This is the way I feel. I think it's the heart of the community. It's certainly the bright spot in the community, okay? And I want to paint a picture for you, because there's six other places that could become the heart of their community. And what that looks like to me in Ojeda, Craig, you got the Enriqueo Church picture there? There's another picture that looks just like this, with six little girls in red and white dance uniforms crammed in the front of that 126-degree humid building, waving their banners, smiling their faces, singing to God is the most precious thing you've ever seen in your life. When they go to the Ojeda Church, and there's no transportation. Like, they don't drive from town to town. If you get on the back of your dad's motorcycle, maybe, but that's not really conducive to a dance uniform. When you go to the Ojeda Church, there's room. There's air conditioning. There's bathrooms. They've got 13, 15 girls up there in the dance procession. In a culture where it's hard to keep a dance uniform clean, okay? The point I'm trying to make is, when that triples in size, there will be 13 little girls in there in a dance uniform, singing their heart out to God, being ministered to by the leader of that dance team, expanding the influence of the kingdom of God in that community with their circle of friends who think it's just the greatest thing to be able to get a dance uniform and go do it with their friends. It's different than it is over here. I mean, we probably couldn't find 20 people to put on a dance uniform if we wanted to in the whole city of Dalton. But they're not as mobile. They don't go everywhere. So these buildings in those communities, it's critical. It's like life. And I don't want to be over dramatic about it, because at the end of the day, it is just a building, but it's where God's people gather, and they bring him in that building. And then the other people that come in the building get a little something. And we need a bigger building. So there's people, what you don't see is about that many people sitting out at the street on a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, okay? Who comes to church at a Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock? Nobody. They did. They do. It's incredible. All right, let me get back on track here. This is the current church in Enriqueo. Do you have the picture of the property, Craig? This is hopefully the future church of Enriqueo. It needs some work. These communities are built on the side of a hill, so there is no, like, developable real estate. You got what you got, and you hope that something comes up. In this case, somebody died, left it to family members that have moved on, and they don't want the property, and so they're willing to sell it. But you don't really get to pick, you know, your 5 acres of flat land to build $1 million church on. There's not very many properties there, and most all of them need a little work. But that is literally three times bigger than the building they were in. And through, you know, support of our church and the other churches involved in this ministry, this has become a reality for them to be able to get this. So you go back to the hunger part. They know what to do. They don't have the wherewithal to go get the building, but they know what to do to fix it. They know what to do to make it shine, like the church in Ojeda with the marble floors. Like, the first time I went over there, I never dreamt there'd be marble floors in a church in the middle of nowhere, but they did it. I don't know where they got it. It's beautiful. It's, like, extremely well done. So this is one. Where are we going to next, Craig? Okay. Yep, part of Iso land. And this is, like, right next to... This actually is on flat ground. It's down by the ocean, right next to a river that, you know, a quarter of a mile downstream empties into the ocean. It's legitimately, like, $1 million property if it weren't so far from anywhere that nobody even knows it exists. But good for them. So there's this land. They do have a start and a foundation there. You can't really see it. But compared to the side of that garage, they've got the property. thinking about trying to do some kind of temporary structure, whether it's a tent or a cabana or something, so that they can start meeting there, so that they can take the money they've been paying for rent, start using that for improvements, and get some traction themselves. So this is the land that was purchased in Los Patos, and that tree needs to come down, but once it's down, they've already got an agreement with somebody in the local government there to come in and level the lot out, put a foundation in, and get started. This church doesn't even have a place right now because they got kicked out of the place they were paying rent for whatever reason. So, this is the church right now. That's me. It's out in the middle of like a courtyard, and there was cats and swans and everything else just kind of roaming around out there while we're praising and preaching. It's pretty wild. But just hungry people, man. It's crazy. Where to next?
So you've seen two pieces of property. This one that was bought earlier this year, we helped to buy, and this one. And we're looking at buying three more this year. This one, this building. There's two pieces of other property we're committed to buying. Some of them about Barona and
Yep. Yes.
We sent the money yesterday. We don't have pictures. Nobody took pictures.
Yep. So one thing to keep in mind with most of these purchases is there's usually in-kind support of some kind. And that's a big deal because it keeps other people vested, other, you know, local people vested in the process. This is one of the three that we're thinking about purchasing. Pastor Raquel's house, if you remember that picture, very close to there is another lot that was much cheaper that is going to be purchased for that church to get started. And then in Santo Domingo, there's a Pastor Elba, and her husband's in the military or something. But anyway, they live kind of on the edge of the city limits. There's a piece of property one or two lots away from them. And because of her husband's job, if that property is purchased, and again, it's not very much money, it might be $1,500 or $2,000 for this lot, but her husband's connection in the military said he will build the building as like a donation to the community. And so it's just, it's the place is so important, especially over there. That's the thesis I want to leave you with. The money is being spent wisely because God's speaking, we're listening, the in-kind support's coming in behind, and the hunger of the people takes it across the finish line. And it just, it feels almost like impossible that once these places are constructed, if God continues to move over there the way he is, and the people that are over there leading those churches keep pressing in the way that they are, we may be having this conversation again 5 years from now for, you know, more land or different places or whatever it is. It's just, it's hard to imagine a more effective place to put your efforts. And I think I'm going to leave it with that. I'm going to share for Hillary. She's already said about her anxiety. I was having an anxiety attack thinking about her going over there and having anxiety. And we both made it. And she's been doing much better. And I think that's really cool. So.
And there's really not a lot left to say. I mean, that sums it up. What I've noticed in the picture where Chad was preaching outside. Where was that? Where were we? Oh, never mind. Okay, well, anyway, one of the churches that don't have a building. We got there at like 5 o'clock on Friday. I think it was Friday, right? So I do tent revivals here in this region. And I started about a month and a half. Yeah, right here. There's probably 40 people there up the alley and around back behind us. And but anyway, I was talking about hunger. Here's what I found. I was thinking about this, and I told my wife when we were there, I was like, so I start like a month and a half out, blasting it all over Facebook and going to churches and saying, hey, y'all come to this revival. We're having revival over here at the fairgrounds or wherever we're having revival. I'm all pumped up thinking there's going to be 1,000 people show up. I've done told everybody in Dalton and Murray County, and I get there first night, there's 20 people maybe, you know. So I do all, I can put all that work out trying to get, influence people to come be a part of what's going on in the kingdom, and there's 20 people show up. You go way over there in the middle of nowhere on a Friday at 5 o'clock, and they're gathered up in somebody's backyard. I mean, you don't hear that here. You're not going to hear. Well, let's prophesy into that and say, we're going to hear that here, right? But you know, I just said the level, the intensity of their hunger for the Lord, this is mind-blowing. One thing, like the highlight, I guess, of my whole thing is last year there was at Enrique, I think, there was this little boy. And, man, I just hit it off with him. He gave him a hug. He, you know, spoke into his life, and he just followed me around everywhere. We weren't there long. I mean, how long we stay at those churches? No, I mean, like right there. Yeah, 30, 45 minutes, an hour maybe. And a lot of that service, so we got to go to another church. So there's not much time to socialize in between the service. So, what I'm saying is, I don't know how, I didn't realize this, but that little boy, I made an impact on his life somehow, because this year he came to the big church in Ojeda and come give me a hug, like just hug me and hug me and hug me, long time hug me, you know. And I just thought, man, what we don't realize is that little boy remembered, you know. So how many times throughout the years he'd been thinking about those people God sent from America, you know, to be with us. You know, that really influences me and encourages me to, you don't ever know. What you don't ever know, what kind of impact you're making on somebody. I mean, here or there. But that, you know, it opened my eyes. another thing I've been meditating on since we've been back is, we say we've sacrificed our lives for the kingdom, for God. I'm going to say we. I'm going to say me, just so you don't feel offended. But I say that. And I give him an hour in the mornings and Sundays and a couple hours every evening at a place called Hope. We have a service of some kind. There's this guy, the pastor of the church in Ojeda, the big church. He comes back with us to Santo Domingo the last day or two we're there. And he went out with me and my wife. We went shopping and whatever. But my wife asked him, why you don't have a wife? And, of course, he has to text on Google Translate because we can't. We was hanging out with somebody. I couldn't even communicate with him. But anyway, he said, I don't have a job to support her. There's nowhere to work in Ojeda. There's not jobs. There's just not anything to do. You know, they trade avocados and mangoes and chickens and whatever. You know, there's not a lot going on as far as income. But he don't have a job to support a wife. And Allison asked him, well, why you don't live here in the city and you could have a wife and a place of your own? And I mean, she didn't say all this, but this is what she was meaning. She just said, why you don't live here in the city? But what she's getting at is, why you don't, you know, if you lived here, you could have a life and a wife, you know, because he said, I want a wife. He desires a wife, you know. But he texts on there and said, I'm doing what God tell me to do. Living in a remote part of the world where And his desire is for a wife, and his desire is for every, you know, everything else. But he's laid his desires aside, and lives over in the middle of nowhere to minister to those people. And been doing so for 24 years. It's a big deal. It's made me think. It's made me redefine what it means to say I sacrifice my life for the kingdom. Right? It ain't about doing. You know, I don't, that's what, I mean, so for a day or so, I was saying, I got to do more. But the Lord is telling me this morning, you just be you. You know, that's what I want you to do, just be you. And so he's giving me permission just to be me and quit trying to, it ain't about doing, but this dude really, I mean, what we say is surrendering our life to him is, or what I say is actually not. I surrender some of my time to him. You know, but not my life. I still get everything I want in life too, you know. But anyway, it's amazing. What I do want to do, I want to take this time just for a second and thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. You know, it's a big deal to me and my life. Pushing me into, I mean, where I know God's taken me in life, and you know, with Him it's the beginning of something. You know, I don't know what the something is, but it's the beginning of something with, you know, with my call, the call that's on my life. And my wife, our dog is sick, so she's at home. She's real sick, but anyway, she told me to tell y'all thank you too. What's happened to her over the past week has changed her life, you know, changed her whole perspective of not really perspective. It's gave her a new confidence to know that she's a minister of the gospel instead of just sitting on the sidelines and watching everybody else do it. You know, she's got a new passion, I guess you'd say, you know, so that really blesses my heart. So thank you. Thank y'all for letting me be a part of it.
Can you pull up the map of the Dominican Republic? I don't know if you guys have ever looked at a DR map. But the area, this is, let's see, Santo Domingo is right here at the bottom, and that's where we flew into. It's right on the coast. And then the drive to where it was, oh, praise God for Chad's driving. I mean, literally, when you're going to the towns, it's the mountain here and a cliff and the ocean there. And part of the road's gravel. And when you're going sideways on the gravel, you're going, Jesus, keep us on the road. We didn't do that on the way back, praise God. But on the way there, I'm just kind of going, okay, Jesus, you got this. But what is amazing to me is... this is where we stayed, where the red circle is. That's Paraíso. And Ojeda's in there, too. All of the little towns are there. Most of the pastors live in Ojeda. Not all of them, but most of them live in Ojeda. And other than Christian, who's the pastor of Ojeda, the rest of the pastors are women. They're just...
Yeah.
Hmm? Okay, 2 out of 7 are men. I don't remember the other man, but there's this, you know, tiny little coaster road. And you've never driven, I mean, we've driven in Bulgaria, and I thought it was crazy. In the Dominican Republic, it's a whole nother ball game. It's a two-lane road, but there's 5 cars across it, you know, and they're all dodging in and around and cutting in, and had to work really hard to stay behind Ramon and not have 5 cars cut in between us. These pastors of the outlying churches have motorcycles. And all the women wear dresses. I'm wearing pants and going, oh my goodness, I'm wondering if they're being religious and I should have worn a dress and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, they're wearing dresses, and they're riding motorcycles to all these outlying towns. on this tiny little road where everybody plays chicken on these roads. And you think, they don't think anything of it. In fact, one of the pastors, Martha, had an accident. She got forced off the road and literally landed on her face on the side of the road. And it tore her face up. But she got back up. She still rides a motorcycle every single Sunday to go pastor the church. Where's her church in Paraiso? Or in, oh, that's the farthest away. So she rides the motorcycle all the time to go visit her people. And I'm thinking, that's a strong woman. She's a woman who's willing to pay the price, and she's a woman who trusts God beyond ways I have been challenged to do so far. But anyhow, it's challenging to see that and to think, okay, that's where I want to be. That's who I want to be. They're role models.
So let me just summarize real quickly. No promises. So I've been going down with Ramon for 8 years. It took 2 or 3 years sort of to get my mind around how we could help. And the first thing we realized, they've got one main church that's been there for 25 years, that they own their own property. And they had a concrete block building on there, but it was there was like 100 people outside the building. So at least 3 years ago, we did a project to expand that concrete block building. Had a wooden frame, wooden trusses with a metal roof. And we expanded that, doubled it, put a concrete block roof on there, and it wasn't marble, but it was nice tile that would be extremely expensive here. But there, it's much cheaper. And so that gave them the base. It took 2 years. Gave them the base, because if your base is not strong, the rest of it's not strong. And it probably seats 125 Americans, but it seats probably 250 or, you know, of them, because they're just not, we have a bigger personal space. And so that was settled. And so then, last year is a long story. These trips don't just go to minister, but see, okay, how can we help and what's the strategic plan? So since last year's visit, 2 pieces of property have been bought. You heard about it. This year, we identified 1 building and 2 pieces of property. So that would be, we'll have a total of, 6. So one of them, I sent the money this morning. That was Barona. And then we're working on trying to negotiate with him on that building and another piece of property. And I think all of those will go through. Make a long story short, in 2 years, 5 more pieces of property will be bought. That is amazing. So that's 6. They'll have 6 of the 7 places will have a piece of property. We came up with a plan. It's going to be 3 phases. First phase is buy the land. The second phase is a temporary building. When we mean temporary building, wooden poles, metal on the side, wooden truss, and they're not trusses like what we're thinking about, and then metal roof, basically a metal building. So that'd be phase 2, and then phase 3 one day, you know, a concrete block building. And so that's amazing for the size of the people that's involved in this operation. And it all boils down to the amazing giving that comes out of this church. For such a small church, it's just unbelievable. We're being very strategic, being very steward, but your giving is it's just amazing. And so, so that's where we're going. Eventually, hopefully all of them be through phase 3s, but we're working with Ramon for them to put money into it too. Some of them, the government, it looks like they may put money into it, or the military. But if we can get 7 at least temporary buildings for all of these, because for years, basically for 8 years, except for the main church, Relationship Church has paid the rent on all those other 6 buildings. Now the rent's like $50 a month. So we've been given roughly $300 a month just to pay the rent. And we didn't know it till we got down there. Two of them lost their building. So it's imperative to get their own thing long term. So it's cool. It's neat. I'll end with this. Found out later after the leadership retreat and just praying and prophesying on. We had an awesome team that went. Two of the pastors were ready to quit. And they just said, I can't do this anymore. But they were fired up. They were energized. So what ramification that has and what ripples that has, nobody knows. But just that keep confusion down if after we left, two of them quit. And so that's cool. So that's any comments or questions or thoughts or confusions? Because we covered a lot of stuff. As you can see, the Lord's Supper table, I apologize to Jan. I was over ambitious about what we were going to do tonight. I was going to talk about koinonia, fellowship, and communion as a setup for the Lord's table. So we're not going to do that because I don't want to just do it. I want to teach on it. And the plan is next week. We'll do this, okay? We had a plan tonight to do it after this with the Lord's Supper, but this was more important. So I apologize for her and Doreen setting all this up. It's too much to try to fit in tonight. And what did you say? I want to teach on it. I want to give a big picture of the power of fellowship and one body. And I think it often gets overlooked when we talk about the Lord's Supper. And because that's what he's making us into, is one body, a family of people. And anybody got anything else? Otherwise, we're going to close out. Well, Father, I just thank you for this group of people. I thank you for... Oh, I forgot. I do need to announce this. In 2 weeks, we will not be meeting here. In 2 weeks, we're going to do fellowship. We're going to be meeting and get on the texting service. I can even maybe put pieces of paper out here for people that aren't on the texting service. But in 2 weeks at 6 o'clock, we're going to be at the Castleman's and just have a party. And the church is going to be providing... Church Castleman's going to be providing the meat and water bottles, cold water bottles. Everybody needs to bring a chair and a side because there's not enough chairs unless you want to stand the whole time. And a chair and some side, if you want something else besides water, bring it. We'll announce again next week. But it'll be a fun time. It's starting to get cooler, and I think it'll be excellent outside. But, Father, we just thank you for who and what you are. We thank you for helping us partner with part of our family in another part of the world. We gave them things we had. They gave us things that we needed. And it's just neat to see your culture and your family around the world. And we just thank you for the team that you put together. There was 3 churches represented in this team of 8, not even counting Ramon. That would be 4 churches. And, Father, it's just cool to see your family and your body unified across lines, across many different ways. And we give you all the glory. Just bless these people as they walk with you this week. Just spend time with them. Speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen.